Birshus, my revered Rebbeim, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University, the deans, Mashkichim, the lay leaders, members of the trustees, and all of our Talmidim. I stand here today representing my family, my mother, my siblings, Alex and Cheryl, all of the children, the in-law children, my wife Anita, Chevy and Moshe, all of the grandchildren watching in Israel and here in America, my larger family in America, including my Uncle Julie and Dottie, my Aunt Esther, and all of the nephews, nieces, and grandnephews and nieces who are here as well watching online. The actual day of the Shloshim of my father is the first day of Hanukkah. Hanukkah for me is a time filled with great memories of my father. As a little boy growing up in Forest Hills, I'd wait every day for Hanukkah, for my father to come home, so excited for the night. We'd all stand by the living room window, light the menorah, sing Haneiros Hallelu Ma'osor. My mother would go to some secret hiding place and out came some presents, and we'd be embraced by the warm feeling of family that continues to nourish me today. Later on in life, after my parents and all of my siblings and I made Aliyah, their home in Yerushalayim for Hanukkah is where the children and grandchildren would all come together and celebrate with songs, latkes, dreidels, and divrei Torah. And just last year, literally 1 year ago, I was asked to light the second candle of the menorah at the Kotel. Standing at the foot of Har HaBayis, it was a very moving event with some personal drama. I thought all I had to do was light a candle. Apparently there was more. The announcer called on the Rav of the Kotel to speak. Then he called on the Minister of Religion to speak. And then he called on the President of Yeshiva University. There I was on Israel National TV addressing the nation, totally unprepared. I rose to the podium, looked at the crowd, and right in the front row, I saw my father. The last couple of years, my father wasn't very mobile and had great difficulty walking. I didn't know if he'd be able to come. But there he was, supporting me throughout and giving me the confidence to offer words of bracha to the country. And then afterwards, the band started to play, and mamash, like a miracle, my father stood up from his wheelchair and he danced with me, my brother, and children at the Kotel in the middle of the circle. Hanukkah has always been special to me, with deeply meaningful memories. But for me, the significance of the fact that my father's Shloshim coincides with the beginning of Hanukkah is greater than the memories, but cuts to the essence of what Hanukkah is about and what life is about. Allow me to explain. The Gemara, introducing the mitzvah of Hanukkah, Tana Rabbana mitzvah Hanukkah, the Gemara says, Ner ish ubeso, that the essential mitzvah of lighting candles is presented as the ish, the balabayas, lighting one candle for the entire house. That is the essential mitzvah. Someone who wants to do hidur mahadrin, so the Gemara says, l'kol echad ve'echad. As Rashi says, each and every one of the Bnei Bayit. So if, for example, there are two sons and two daughters on this level of Hidur, the husband and wife are one unit, so that the Baal HaBayis would light five candles. On the first night he'd light five candles. On the second night he'd light five candles. On the third night he'd light five candles. That is the level of Hidur, to light corresponding to the amount of B'nai Bayit in the house. Then the Gemara says, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, you light corresponding to the number of days. And here we have the famous Machokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that according to Beis Shammai, you light 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and Beis Hillel, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and ascending order. The Gemara offers different reasons to explain the debate. The first says Beis Shammai is corresponding to the number of days left for the holiday, Yamam HaNechnasim, and Beis Hillel is the number of days that have passed, Yamam HaYotzim, or that Beis Shammai is due to Pari Achag, the descending order of the Karbanot and Sukkot, or versus Beis Hillel, which is Ma'alin B'Kodesh. That's the Gemara. Now, there are two ways in the Rishonim of reading the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Tosfos explains that Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is referring to the first level, meaning the essential mitzvah is Ner Ish Ubeso. If you want to do Hidur, you light corresponding to the amount of people. Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is another way of doing, instead of Ner Ish Ubeso, lighting one, that Baal HaBayis lights one menorah according to the number of days. So on the first day he would light one, the second day two, third day three, regardless of the amount of people in the house. That's how Tosfos explains Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. The Rambam says that the three levels are actually building on each other. The first level is Ner Ish Ubeso, is the Baal HaBayis lighting for the house. The second is the Baal HaBayis lighting for each participant, each B'nai Bayis in the house. And the third is the Baal HaBayis lighting not just for the amount of people in the house, but also for the amount of days. As the Rambam explains, if you have 10 people in the house, in the end, so first he lights 10 candles, then 20, then 30, up to 80 candles. The Ramah famously has a variation of this position of the Rambam, and says that it's not that the Baal HaBayis, that the one person lights the 80 candles, but that every single person, every one of the B'nai Bayit, lights individually up to the remaining days. So if there are 10 people in the house, there would still be 80 candles at the end, but there each one of the 10 would be lighting 8 candles. And that's what our minhag is, and that's what we see and what we do. Now, this is a very unusual mitzvah. There are no other mitzvot that has three levels. You have the mitzvah, you can have hidur mitzvah, but this hidur and then mahadrin mina mahadrin, like this laid out from the beginning of these three levels, we don't see in other mitzvot. Why does this have these three, mitzvahs Chanukah have these three levels? To help explain this peculiarity, it's important to note that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were many holidays recorded and celebrated to mark a time of salvation and miracle for the Jewish people. Right? They were kept in a scroll in Megillas Tainis, and when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all of these holidays ceased to be celebrated. And there are many miracle days, many days of miracles that happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. Many days they celebrated. The only one that remained after the Chorban is Chanukah. Chanukah remains, Chanukah endured. Why Chanukah? So Rav Soloveitchik once explained that Chanukah is not just a celebration of an event, a moment in time that speaks of miracles that happened by a mimahaim in the days of yore over 2,000 years ago, but also bazman hazeh. It has an everlasting value for our times and for all times. What is this everlasting value? So I would suggest that there are three levels to this everlasting value as represented by the lighting of the Chanukiah. Number one, you bring your light into your home. Number two, you spark the light of your family. And number three, you devote yourself to the greater mission of bringing the ultimate light to the world. It's your light, your family's light, and the ultimate light to the world. Let me unpack this a little. The first level is bringing your light into your home. Now that the focus of Hanukkah is on the home is of course well known, but I will cite it as I heard it from my Rebbe, Rabbi Rosenzweig, from a letter the Rav Soloveitchik wrote to his father when he was in Berlin, published in his Igros, and the Rav writes that when he was in Berlin, he was shown the Turi Even, that was the personal copy of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and in it you have notes of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So you think about the Mesorah of this, it's the Rav writing that when he was in Berlin, that he saw Rabbi Akiva Eiger's handwriting on the Turi Even. Okay, now given over to the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva University down to the next generation. This is the generations of our Mesorah. So what did the Rav see when he, what was the handwriting that he saw Rabbi Akiva Eiger write? So Rabbi Akiva asked the question in his notes, why is a wife allowed to light candles for her husband to fulfill mitzvahs Chanukah, but, according to the Bahag, not able to help her husband fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah by reading to him? After all, they're both mitzvahs derabbanan, in which the wife is obligated because of the rule of afhein oso benes, that the women were also included in the miracle. Why can she help her husband for candlelighting, but not for Megillah Esther? So the Rav writes in the Igros that the answer is based on the very known distinction that Chanukah is fundamentally different from Megillah. It's true, the both are Rabbanon, but the Megillah, the obligation is on each person to read. So since the husband and wife's obligations are different, and only Afhein Ayyubosone, so she cannot read for him. But in Chanukah, the obligation is not on the person, but on the bayit. And since the wife is also obligated to light candles, so her lighting also creates the bayit daluk, the lit house. So the first level of obligation for any balabayit is to make sure that there's a light lit in the house, that there's a light of the menorah that's lit in the house. And this light, of course, represents Torah. The Neirot Chanukah represents the continuity of Hashem, the Shekhinah. It was true in the times of the Maccabim. The Maccabim won this great war. You know, they might have made the mistake of thinking that it was their strength, it was their might that won the war. And that's why we read in the Haftorah in Zechariah, that what is the message of the menorah? Lo b'chayov, lo b'kochi, ki im baruchi. That Hashem was showing at the time of the Maccabim that it wasn't your strength, it was Hashem's presence, it was the Shekhinah. And just like the Shekhinah is present in the Mikdash for the Maccabim, the Shekhinah stays present in each of our houses. And this message is everlasting. And the Baal HaBayit needs to bring the light into his home. He needs to bring his own light. He needs to set the tone, establish that his house is based on the principles of Torah, rooted in Torah values and Torah teachings, and shine that light outside towards the world. Ner ish ubesa. That is the first level. But if one wants to do Hiddur, then the number of candles correspond to each member of the household. Every person who is present needs to know that the source of light doesn't just come from the Baal HaBayit, but that each member of the household represents light as well. That they all have this power. So that when they grow up and build their own homes, they have the self-confidence to do it themselves. The first level of Hiddur that's everlasting is that it's not enough that you establish a home that is light, that you bring the ner ishu beso, that you bring your light and that you have a bayit daluk that's towards the outside. But you need to have a home that perpetuates your values So that each person, each one of the B'nai Bayit, is empowered to create their own life. That's the second level. But the first level is the house, responsibility to ensure that it's lit. And the second level is familial, so that all the B'nai Bayit see that they have the power as well. The third level is historical. In our tradition, Chanukah is not just about one moment of time in the days of the second Mikdash. It reflects the past and the future as well. Take Ma'osur, the nice piyut that we sing, as an example. If you look, when is Chanukah mentioned in Ma'osur? So in the second paragraph, we talk about salvation from Paro. And the third paragraph, we talk about being brought out of exile of Babel to build the second Mikdash. And the fourth paragraph, it's the salvation of Purim. And the first and the sixth is all about Mashiach. And the fifth paragraph, it mentions Chanukah, surrounded by this context of Mashiach and the final redemption. Chanukah is contextualized within Jewish history, both our past and, most importantly, our future. Chanukah is the last holiday established in the Jewish historical calendar. It comes at a time when prophecy has already ended, but it foreshadows that even in times of darkness, there will be light. The seeds of the Mashiach is in Chanukah. As the B'nai Yisachar writes, Al-Kein Nikrei Ner Chanukah, Ner Chinuch Vehergel Or Olam B'Geula Ha'atida, Sheitzgale Or HaGanuz. The hidden light that will be revealed at the end of days is in the light of Chanukah. The whole idea of the few being able to withstand the mighty, of finding purity amidst the impure, is not just a story of the past. It's the promise of the future. As Rav Soloveitchik writes, that within Chanukah rests the secret of eternity of Israel and the roots of the Messiah. And this is the third level, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. What is the debate between Hillel and Shammai? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. In Shammai's language, we're moving further away from what we are celebrating, for we're commemorating the past. So it's 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. It's down to 1. But in Beis Hillel's frame, Chanukah is a starting point. It's not a day we're commemorating. It's the beginning upon which we are building. It's Ma'alin B'Kodesh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And when you're Ma'alin B'Kodesh, it doesn't end at 8. You need to continue to be Ma'alin B'Kodesh and continue to build off of the 8 and continue forward. In this sense, the Ramah's version of the Rambam's position is very poignant, because it's not enough for one person in the house to light corresponding to the days. It's very easy to watch someone else do it and build towards Mashiach. The Rambam writes in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, at least translated by in our translation, that and then rephrased, that Afopi sheyitmameya im kol zeh achak elo. Even though the Mashiach tarries with all this, I will wait for him. I will wait. Okay, it's one level to wait. Somebody else is doing all the heavy work. You're sitting here and you're waiting for it to happen. But interestingly, the Gemara in Shabbos, when the Rava talks about the 6 questions that Hashem is going to ask you at the end of days to see whether you fulfilled your mission, this will be your final exam at the end of days. The question that Hashem will ask you isn't Chikisa li Yeshua. Did you wait for salvation? It's Tzipisa li Yeshua. Did you anticipate it? Did you work for it? Were you involved in it? Was the Geula part of your life? Did you help move the Jewish story forward? That's the question that is going to be asked. It's not enough for the Balabayas to light, and for the Ramzi, the Balabayas lights all 80 candles up towards, everyone in the house, each of the B'nai Bayit, they need to light. Because it's everyone's responsibility to bring in more light. Interestingly, in this sense, Chanukah becomes even more important each year, the holiday itself changes. As my colleague, Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, mentioned to me recently, quoting the Shem Yishmuel, that the act of lighting candles is the same each year, but the effect is different. Because if it gets darker, then the light is actually brighter. The more into Gullus the world gets darker, our light becomes even more distinct. We see it ourselves at Yeshiva University. Just believing in the same principles we always believed in draws more public attention than before because it's more countercultural. Hanukkah is different than other holidays because its focus is towards the outside and the future. The holiday itself changes each year. It actually becomes even more important. There are three levels I'm suggesting for the holiday. It's your light, your family's light, the ultimate light to the world. It's your house, it's the family, and it's the mission. For my father, Hanukkah, I think, is a great holiday to reflect on his life. My father lived for his family. He did anything and everything for them. And his life's ambition was to take care of us. And when he thought he could take care of us, the children, he then tried to take care of his grandchildren and future descendants. And he would sacrifice a lot for it. He was not a person who cared about physical possessions. When he made Aliyah, I remember the story, it's actually one of the few stories I did not tell over at the Shiva, that when he made Aliyah, he had a matching set of custom-made, very nice couches. One he gave to us, and the other he was planning to take with him to Israel. When the movers came to fit everything in the lift, they're having trouble fitting the couch in. So my father said to the mover, okay, fine, you know what, you keep it. It totally didn't matter to my father. In fact, I only now know the story because the next year we made Aliyah, and when the movers came to assess our furniture, one of them said to me, you know, I have the exact same couch. I'm like, that's my father's couch. But my father, he would give things away, especially to people in need. Like someone was in need, he wouldn't even think about it. Like once he borrowed $25,000 for his business. He had a very pressing business need. But soon afterwards, a friend came to him and told him this terrible story that his friend was stuck. He was considered leaving home. My father said, "What? How much do you need?" And the friend said, $25,000. So I said, okay. So my father gave it to him. Now, he was like that with everyone. When he had it, you would have it. And his true friends, and I know one of them is watching and it couldn't come here this morning, Ramosha Kalarski, one of his true friends, they would be there for each other. They would help each other all throughout their lives. When they had it, they would give each other, handle each other, they would just be together. After my father moved to Yerushalayim, he showed that he was like this always. He was like this in his communal work too. So he started davening in Yeshurun. And he saw that the base medrash was in disrepair. So he built them a new one. And then he saw that the siddurim were all old and ripped. So he bought them new sets. Somebody came over in the Shiva and said, you know, there are over 300 people now learning in the kolol each day in Yeshurun in the merit of my father's generosity. And all those chuyot go to him. But my father never thought of zchuyot, and especially for his children. He would just give us and take care of us, not just when we were young, but really all throughout our lives. So, and it's a fascinating Gemara, these two levels. And there's a ner ishu beso, and then the kol echad ve'echad. The ner ishu beso is bringing your own ner, your own charisma and personality into the house. You light up the house. And my father did that. Many of his fellow students back when he was at YU have said a similar thing about my father. My father went to Yeshiva University, and he was the president of the Yeshiva College Student Council. In 1962, he was the president of the Yeshiva College Student Council. During the Shiva, somebody showed me a picture of the Masmid, 1962. I think Stanley was in it, 1962. And they had one page dedicated to the 75th convocation of Yeshiva University in 1962. And my father always told me, the 75th coming, Dr. Belkin asked him to work with the Stern College student president and to create the 75th convocation. And there was a picture of the 75th convocation. And right in the corner, there was a picture of my father, Tobias Berman, Dr. Belkin, and the Stern College student president, Rosalie Bayer. That's my mother. Dr. Belkin was their shadchan. And there was, in the Masmid, I saw a picture of them when they were 1962. And my father, it was not just for him being the president of the student council, was something that he did. Like, I met someone who was in Torah Vadas with him in high school and told me that he was the president of the student council there as well. And afterwards, when we were growing up, he was the president of our shul, he was the president of our day school. And this is a common theme that I heard from many people. Many of his classmates from 62 who've spoken to me said that my father had a big personality. He was like a larger-than-life kind of figure. And he was like that at home. Like, he'd come home and regale us with stories from his week. Now, unlike most fathers who held a single position in the same firm for his whole life, like you're at IBM, you're at IBM for your whole life, my father was an entrepreneur before there was such a thing. I never knew what business my father was going to be in. Like, at one point he owned a small oil company. Another time he owned a small airlines. And I remember that because he flew the New York Islanders. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I was telling all my friends, my father's like, no, I sold that. And then he started a trivia board game about New York. And once he founded and built a software company that actually had a great exit selling to Microsoft. And on this journey, he had what I would call a Hanukkah personality. A Hanukkah personality. There were successes and failures. The oil will be filled one day and empty the next. But as children, we wouldn't feel it either way. The light would carry on. The stories continued. My father would be the energy. In my later years, he would be my counsel. He knew how to run business, and he knew how to create something new, how to formulate a dream and bring partners along to actualize it. The story of Yosef and Hanukkah annually converge because they develop this kind of Hanukkah personality of riding waves that sometimes go up and sometimes go down with a strong sense of resilience and emunah and a forward focus that did not linger too long on past missed opportunities or years that were lost that would never be returned, but considered the future and the possibilities ahead. So much of this describes my father. This was his nair that he brought into and lit our house. But it was not one in which the primary concern was himself. Just the opposite. My father was working for his family, and he supported us and he raised us so that we have the abilities and self-belief to accomplish what we set out to do. And this is the hiddur level, the family. I love the Rashi on this hiddur level. Rashi says, L'kol achad v'achad b'bnei bayit. Now there's a difference between banim and b'nei bayit. There's a difference between banim and b'nei bayit. So take like the Choni Ma'agal story. So the banim, all of Am Yisrael are banim to Hashem. They cannot get water. They were only like banim. But Choni Amagal, he's a b'nei bayit to Hashem. What does it mean, a b'nei bayit? So Rashi in Bracha says, a b'nei bayit is somebody who's nichnas v'yotze lo bershus. A b'nei bayit lives there. He goes in and out without asking permission. It's like on Hanukkah, for example, if you have 7 children, 3 are married, have their own house, are independent, they're not b'nei bayit. They take care of themselves. The hiddur level is that the Baal HaBayis will light for the 4 ones that are still with him. My father had many b'nei bayit. First, he cared for his children long after we became independent, and we were always on his mind. And one can at least conceptually say that we remained b'nei bayit. But more literally, his grandchildren. My parents had their grandchildren over all the time. And I don't just mean visiting them, living with them. A granddaughter was going to nursing school in Yerushalayim. She stayed with them for months. Another grandson went to high school in Yerushalayim, so stayed with them one night every week. My son in the army had to travel from Tel Aviv. It was a long day. It was easier just to live with my parents in Yerushalayim than go back to the Gush every day. Another son, after we came to America, he just moved in with them. He totally moved in with them. Regular weekly dinners with their grandchildren, stopovers while grandchildren in Yerushalayim. My parents met the friends of their grandchildren. They all came over as well. They were all B'nai Bayit. They had the keys to the house. They could come at will. One of my sons famously would just pop in Erev Shabbos and says, I'm here for Shabbos. It's all good. Each had an independent relationship with my mother and father. They were all B'nai Bayit. And as the children got older, they would talk to my father about what they were doing. My father was always interested and encouraging of their success. He would follow their stories and ask them the next time he saw them about their latest developments. He would give them encouragement so that it wouldn't just be that they hear his stories, but that they see themselves as a source of a new light. And he was very conscious of this. In the hospital, in the last week of my father's life, my father knew he wasn't going to leave. He knew he wasn't coming out of the hospital. He knew before we knew. He knew, he accepted it. He said he was very shalem with it. He said he had a great life. He had a great wife, is what he said. And then he said goodbye. He said goodbye to each of his children. And he told us how much he loved us and was proud of us. He saw all of his grandchildren that week. There were 5 days. He was fully conscious to all of his grandchildren. And he gave a particular message to those who were too young to spend the time, to spend the kind of time with him that the older ones had. To one he said, for example, that he was sorry that they didn't have more time with you. And that's how life works out. But I love you and I'm proud of you. And even though he would not see it himself, he knows what an amazing young man that you'll grow up to be. This is how my father was thinking in the last week of his life. He was thinking how to best prepare us to have comfort and to continue when he was gone. To my father, all of his grandchildren were his B'nai Bayit. At different years, he could have lit a menorah for all of them. And not just them. All of the amanot that they cared for. The Engel community in Yerushalayim has many widows. It's an older, retired community. Every Friday night and most Shabbos meals, my parents would have guests who became B'nai Bayit in their home. Or the lone soldiers. There was a time my father was very active at the Great Synagogue. And one of the activities he loved the most was a monthly program he initiated and hosted at the Great Synagogue for Shabbat dinner for lone soldiers. There were hundreds every Friday night, too big for his own home, of course, but housed in the lobby of the shul. My father would deliver Dvar Torah at the meal every front of these Friday night meals and make each one feel that they had a home in Yerushalayim, that they were not alone, but they were the B'nai Bayit of this community. My father didn't just bring himself into the home to make sure that the house was lit with his personality, but he lit the candle for all his B'nai Bayit in the most expansive meaning of the term, so that they too felt the strength and confidence of their value and will be able to light their own candles when the time comes. The last level, Mahadran Min HaMahadran, is the mission. It's Hanukkah within history. As days that are part of a larger narrative, both in the past and certainly in the future, seeing Chanukah as part of a continuity of Pesach, Bavel, Purim, all days of deliverance, and seeing Chanukah as a harbinger for something greater, in a way that not only you see it and work for it, but you inspire all of the B'nai Bayit, as the Rama says, to see it and work for it. My father certainly saw himself in the context of his past. His story did not begin at his birth, but began with his parents and grandparents. My father's side is from a line of Rabbanim and Talmidei Chachamim that played a significant role in Klal Yisrael, including Rav Shlomka Berman, the son-in-law of the Stipler and Shamash of the Chazon Ish, and Rav Yaakov Bender, whose presence we recognize here today, as the head of Darche, and a host of Rabbanim who emigrated to the States and across the world in different communities. My grandfather himself was a Talmud Chacham. He learned under Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Baranovich and was a deep personal friend of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe would stay with Rav Feinstein at my grandparents' home in Hartford 1 month a year during the summers for 3 summers to write Tshuvot. We have in our possession, we were going over to the Shiva, unpublished Tshuvot from Rav Moshe that he wrote to my grandfather as a personal respected friend. My grandfather, though, when he came to America, he needed to support himself and to bring his family over from Europe and support them. And it was thanks to Rav Avram Bender, Yankel Bender's grandfather, that we were able to bring over my grandfather and then my grandmother and their 2 sons from Europe, Meyer and Yudel. Yudel afterwards was named Julius, because they needed an English name, and the bakery across the street said Julius Bakery. And then my father was born afterwards in America, and then afterwards my aunt Esther. When my grandfather came, he had to support their family. So it was the position of a shochet that he took. At the end of his life, my father would tell the story. My grandfather confided to my father that he had some regret, that he spent his life in the slaughterhouse instead of the Beit Midrash or the Shul as a Rav, which was his natural home. And I think the story signifies the sacrifice for one's family, for the larger mission that really stayed with my father, as well as the Zionism and the dream of building the Jewish homeland that was a deep part of his mother, my grandmother's life, who always wanted to live in Israel. All of my parents' children made Aliyah, including them. All fulfilled the dreams of their generations. But then something unusual happened. I was offered the position to become president of Yeshiva University. Our family was all together in the same country for 10 years. My father's greatest joy was to see us, and in particular, he would see me almost every day as I worked nearby and would come over regularly for lunch. But when YU came up, he said to me, "You need to take it. The mission is too large. The possibilities of impact is too significant. To root YU in its own Hashkafas HaChayim, which was my goal, the true Torah spirit that needs to rest at the heart of Yeshiva University, so that its students will go out and excel in the world as agents, not just of success, but of Kiddush Hashem. It's the secret of eternity, the roots of the Messiah. This is the mission that will help bring Geula. For it's only when we're deeply rooted in the Beit Midrash and our Torah values that we can maximize our impact locally, nationally, and globally." And my father understood all of this, and he loved it. Since his days as a student and lay leader, he believed in Yeshiva University to the point that even though it meant that he would not see me nearly as regularly, which was his joy, he said, "You need to go and do the mission." My father succeeded in his life in all 3 levels of Hanukkah. The light he brought into and created with my mother in our home, the inspiration he was to all of the Bnei Bayit, and the broader mission that he not only actualized in his life, but enabled his Bnei Bayit to work towards its fulfillment as well. I want to share with you, my students, how meaningful this Siyum is to me. During Shiva, in deep moments of bereavement, I received a call from Rabbi Kalinsky, that the students, Rebbeim, administrators, faculty got together to learn a Siyum Mishnayot, Masechet Gittin, and Chamishei Chumshei Torah in memory of my father. It's hard to have nechama during Shiva, but this makom, HaMakom Yenachem, this makom was truly a source of deep comfort for me. And how fitting it is to have this at Yeshiva University, which meant so much for my father, which he worked so hard towards and for. It's a true comfort. In fact, there are two siyumim of Shas Mishnayos that are taking place. One in America and one in Israel, with my family friends there, including the students at Gross. There's so much Torah learning that's being done in his memory, and it's deeply comforting. I have an image of my grandfather. And I thought of this when I visited the kever of my father after Shiva. There's an aliyah to kever. I have an image of my grandfather who regretted at the end that he spent his life at a shochet. My grandfather, and my father now, is going up to my grandfather. And he's saying, look what happened because of your decision. Look at the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and now the great-great-grandchildren. Many who live in Israel, learned in Hezder, served in Sal. Others continued a life in America. Look how much learning, how much Torah from all of the institutions that were supported and led by your descendants. Thousands upon thousands. All because you sacrificed to be a shochet. And we're thinking of the larger mission. Let's contextualize your lives in a much broader sense of purpose. And what's the goal? And what are we trying to accomplish? And this is what Chanukah is teaching us. Think of your life as the light that you are bringing into your home. Think about how you are going to light the candles of others in your family, of your B'nai Bayit. And think about how you're going to carry the mission to bring the greater Geula, the greater light, into this world. The message of Chanukah, and so much of the message of my father's life. I'll now close with the final Mishnah. Afterwards, there's food for the Talmidim to take with them to Shir, and for anyone who wants to stay, and welcome to stay and sit with us. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lahanchil Chot Tzadik V'Tzadik Shoshmeos Vasar Alamos Shneamra Lahanchil Av Vayesh V'Tzurseyam Amalei. Rav Shua ben Levi says, last Mishnah and Uktin and Shas Mishnayis, in the future HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause to inherit every single Tzadik 310 worlds. To those that love me, I'll cause to inherit Yesh, Yesh the Gematria of 310, and I will fill their treasures. Amar Rav Shim ben Chalafta, Omata Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Brachli Yisrael Ela Hashalom Shenamar Hashem Ozla Moyiten Hashem Reichatamo Bashalom. That Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu did not find the Kli to be Machzik, the blessing of Yisrael. The best Kli is Shalom. And they quote the last pasuk in Tehillim. The last pasuk in the Mishnah is a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Ozla Moyiten, which Mefarshim explain Oz. What is the Oz? What is the strength that Hashem gives His people? It's the Torah. The Oz is Matan Torah. And Har Sinai, Hashem Oz la Moyitain. Hashem gave us the strength. He gave us the Torah. Hashem Yivarech Atamo Bashalom. And what is Shalom? It is not just peace in this world. It's true peace. It's the peace that comes with in Yemos HaMashiach. That the Torah ends with Shalom. Which is the same way that the Rambam says, Hilchos Chanukah, Derechar Dachai Noam, V'chol Nesiv Aseh Shalom. It's very important that the Gemara in Shabbos says that somebody who's ragil, that if you integrate Chanukah into your life, your children will be Tamidei Chachamim. And what does it mean to have children that are Tamidei Chachamim? As the end of the Gemara says in Brachos, who are true Tamidei Chachamim? Tamidei Chachamim are Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. They bring Shalom. What is the Shalom? It's not just Shalom that we think of now. It's the true Shalom that they bring into this world. It's a bracha that I think of when I think of my father and what he was blessed in his life. As we say in Tehillim, Yivarech Hashem mitzion, urei betuv Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha, that Hashem should bless you from Tzion. You should see the goodness of Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha. He had the zchus of living in Yerushalayim, Urei Banim Levanecha, to see children, to his children, Shalom al Yisrael, Bezrat Hashem, he will see Shalom on Yisrael, as we do each three, as we work on each level of the mitzvah, the Hidur, and the Mahadran, Min Mahadran. Last year I danced with my father at the foot of Har Habayis. We will be dancing again at Bias HaGoel. We will miss you. We will carry you with us. We'll be reunited again. Rav Tuvia ben Rav Chanuch, Tenishmato Tzuror, Vitzuror HaChayim, Adonai Oz, Vamo Yitain, Adonai Yivarech, Etamo Bashalom. Hadron Alach, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, Masecha Gittin, V'chamisha Chumshe Torah, V'hadron Alan. Daitalan, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, Masecha Gittin, V'chamisha Chumshe Torah, V'daitan Alan. Lotin Nishem Inach, Shisha Sidra Mishnah, Masecha Gittin, V'chamisha Chumshe Torah, V'lotin Nishem Inan, V'ba'am Adain, V'ba'am Adase. Harav Nadana, Hainu, Zdere Torah, Schaba, Fina, V'yo, Samcha, Beis Yisrael, V'nechul, Lanu, Anachnu, V'tzeinu, V'tzei Amcha, Beis Yisrael. Kulana yodei shemecha v'lamdei torsech l'shma ma'evei t'chak meini mitzosecha kulam hili yilibi tamim b'chulkech l'mano evosh l'lamo l'shkach b'gudecha kibam chi yisani baruch ata adnai l'mdeini chulkecha amein amein selah v'ed modim anachlu v'necha nahenu v'ya v'senu shesamta chakenu miyoshvei v'es hamedj v'lo miyoshvei kronos shanu mashkimim v'he mashkimim Anu mashkimim l'dvei Torah, v'hem mashkimim l'dvarim b'telim. Anu ha'melim, v'hem ha'melim, anu ha'melim l'mkabim s'char. V'hem ha'melim, v'hem ha'melim s'char. Anu ratzim, v'hem ratzim. Anu ratzim l'chay olam haba. V'hem ratzim l'ver shachas. Sh'nam rav atem lohim toridim l'ver shachas. Anshei damim u'mirma lo yichatsu yimeyam v'ani yavtach bach. Yiratom v'vnach adonai ha'ay k'shem sh'zotani l'sayim. Shishi s'dre mishnu m'sechid gin. Kach tazreni la'tchil s'darim s'farim acherim l'saimam. Lamodal Amei Lishmarva Sosa Kaim is called the Bray Tamatosacha Baba, Luschus Kola Tanam, Tamidecha Cham and his Karm, Beshesha Sizra Mishnah, Mesachet Gitten, Tamali, Lazari, Shlo Tamusha Torah Mapi, Omapi Zari, Bezarazari, Adalam, the Kaim B, Bezalecha, Tancha Utach, Beshachatishma Lecha, Vakitsosa, Hitisichacha, Kivi Yerbu Yamecha, Vesifil Chashnos Chayim, Orecham and Bimina, Bismala Osheva Chabot, Adonai Oz Lamo Yitain. Adonai Yivarech Atamo Bashalom. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, Shmei Rabba. Bama odati v'tchadu l'chayim asayi l'sakal yasun l'chayim omo v'nei kartu d'ushalem u'shachalei chalab b'gaba u'me'akar pulchana nukhra me'ar ala sava pulchana d'shmai ala asra v'yamach kutcha b'richu v'machuse v'kare v'yitzmach purkane v'kare v'mishichei b'chayi chanu b'chanu chayi d'ro b'Yisrael Baglav is my career, Vimru Amen, Yesh, May Rabbah, the Barach, Yulam, O May, O Maya, Yisparach, Vishtabach, Vishma, Vishramam, Yisnase, Visada, Visalev, Yisalosh, Made Gusham, Rehu, Leilam and Kobachasa, Vishirasa, Tush for Chazam and Achmasa, Damiram Bama, Vimru, Amen, Ayusov, Arabanabal, Tamidan, Bakal Tamidan, Tamidan, Bakamanda, asking Baraisa, Dibasra, Den Ude Bakal, Sabasa, Yehilanu l'cham shamarava chinu b'chista barachme b'chay richem b'zaner v'chay u'prakana b'kanda mavan tibeshmaya b'aravim ru amen yehi shamarava min shmaya b'chayim tov malena v'akoy shavim ru amen oseh shalom b'mramav hu yaseh shalom aleinu v'akoy Yisrael v'mru amen.